Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to Out of the Abyss. With you, as always, Lot, Pip, and Jake's ghost. No, not Jake's ghost.
I was looking at the script there. I was like, so is it going to get him? And I think it did indeed get you.
No, I saw it when I opened it up, and I was wondering how I was going to do it, but I opted for that. I would redo it if I could. So, some unfortunate news, everyone. We're going to have a little bit of a show restructure. Just due to conflicting work schedules and real life getting in the way, we are basically, I'm going to be continuing as main host, and I'm going to have various co-hosts with me depending on the episode. Sometimes it'll be Pip, sometimes it'll be Jake, sometimes I will get both of them, sometimes I will get neither, sometimes I will have someone else. And we're just gonna, you know, mess around, see what's going on.
Yeah.
So, Pip, did you enjoy your official disclosure? Did you look at what the disclosure was?
Disclosure?
Yeah, the alien disclosure from the American government.
Oh, right. I didn't actually look. I looked at everyone reacting to it, and they said they were really disappointed, and I just didn't bother to actually read the whole thing.
Basically, they just admitted that pilots have been seeing weird stuff, but they don't know what it is. It could be alien, it could be Russian, it could be Chinese. They don't know. But it's real, and it physically exists.
I mean, that's a pretty big admission for the U.S. government to be like, hey, this thing that we said never existed does actually kind of exist, but we still don't know what's up. That's huge.
Yeah, it's also, unfortunately, it's also kind of what they always do, is give like a tidbit and then nothing else.
Yeah, it was a really hollow admission, but they did sort of admit that they don't know.
Now, all disclosure aside, it's time for something fucking serious. This is real. Real science. This week, friends, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. The Sasquatch.
Yeah, Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch, is a cryptid in Canadian and American folklore that resides in the forests of North America. Now, this thing is described as being between 6 and 9 feet tall, covered in black, dark brown, or reddish hair, and people note that it smells fucking awful. Awful.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing in some of the stories I was looking up.
So, to anyone who's been following along, if this sounds familiar, like everything that we covered last week. Yeah, it is. Its face is described as human-like, possessing a flat nose and visible lips. People also add that it has really broad shoulders, no visible neck, and long arms. And the long arms are noteworthy, by the way, because monkeys have longer arms than people. People have evolved shorter arms, like relative to our height.
Yeah.
Do you know why, Pip?
Because trees for the arms, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, the same reason that we lost our tails, but it's because we evolved so that we could throw stuff. A really long arm, if you throw something, you just fall over. That's what monkeys do. They can throw stuff, but they don't really, like, whip it like a human does. They kind of lob stuff.
God, can you imagine the Sasquatch throwing something?
Well, if Jesus. It's got real long arms, then, like, relative to its height, then it can't whip something. It kind of has to lob it. If it throws any harder than that, it falls on its face.
Oh.
Yeah, literally why we have shorter arms, because it's an evolutionary advantage to be able to kill things from 30 feet away.
I misunderstood. I thought the longer arms help with the throwing.
No, they inhibit it. So humans, evolved shorter ones. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting. People also claim that it has eye shine, like a reflective layer in the eyes for capturing small amounts of light at night. And that's very unusual for a primate.
That is very unusual for a primate. And actually related to that, while I was looking up some Bigfoot stories for later on, I found a post from a working evolutionary anthropologist who did a lengthy thing on why theoretically Bigfoot should not have eye shine on the proposed evolutionary tree here. Let's see. Everyone knows nocturnally adapted animals' eyes have a tendency to reflect bright lights shone in their direction, which is a really convenient way to see animals you otherwise couldn't see. Like if you're driving in the dark highway, waving a flashlight, looking for Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. But biologically, the structure responsible for this reflection is the, I'm going to butcher this, tapetum lucidum, which is a reflective membrane located behind the retina, where when light passes through the retina, it reflects it back, effectively giving the retina a second chance to absorb the light. Which is how that works. But the cost of this is nocturnal animals don't have a clearer vision. They just have brighter vision, not necessarily in the full spectrum. And Bigfoot, as we understand it, is a heplorhine or caterine primate, as we kind of assume he is a wood ape. So it is either a branch off human lineage, or it is branched off of the great ape lineages, and neither of those have the,
neither of them have eyeshine.
Eyeshine, yeah. I was trying to remember the, a catchy term for it, but yeah. Neither of them have eyeshine in this sort of evolutionary line, so there's no way that it could have got it.
That is not true. Like, although it's true that they don't have eyeshine, but animals can evolve things that other animals in their family tree don't have. It's called a convergent evolution, where multiple
creatures. That's why there's so many different versions. Families.
Yeah. It's why dinosaurs, like ichthyosaurs, looked really similar in shape to like swordfish and some kinds of sharks and stuff, because it turns out that body shape is really good for living in water. So things just keep evolving it. It's why nature keeps evolving crabs.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's why there's so many different crabs.
Yeah, because it turns out that, like, the crab form is, like, really, really good. Like, it's very versatile. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that it, like, it's weird and it stands out.
But oh, yeah.
There's plenty of examples of weird offshoots of animals having traits that no other animal in that family has.
The other argument was that the ancestors wouldn't have the genes to pass that on, but so it does live a nocturnal lifestyle and would present a strong selective pressure to evolve better night vision. Yes. The poster there argues that tarsiers are primates that are fully nocturnal and represent the strongest evolutionary lineage. So perhaps Bigfoot just has big ol' eyes, which is I haven't seen any depictions of that. I've always seen depictions of Bigfoot having small eyes, but I love the idea of Bigfoot having just big, googly, tarsier eyes.
That's what the Hopkinsville goblins that we covered way back when. That was just baby Bigfoot.
Just baby Bigfoot's...
baby big feet. Alright, I hope everyone enjoyed that.
Little feets.
I hope everyone enjoyed that little Mr. Science detour that we went on there.
I just thought that was a really interesting discussion there, and I hadn't really seen much about eyeshine regarding Bigfoot, so I thought I'd get in there.
Yeah, hell yeah. Finally, we get to Bigfoot's most notable feature. It's giant dick. No, it's big feet. It's the giant feet.
Listen, I mean, they're pretty much kind of, you know, one means the other. Incidentally, ladies, I'm a size 13.
Size 13. 13 centimeter insole.
Hey, look, that's true. Inches. Inches.
If you had a 13 inch insole, you would be a fucking giant.
Have you seen me?
I mean, you're like an average giant. You're not a fucking giant. Well, man, I guess sometimes you are.
I wish I was a fucking giant. Ladies, get at me.
Now, people have found footprints that are 24 inches long and 8 inches wide.
And he's got me beat by like a foot.
Some of these even have what look like claw or nail marks at the end of them. And what's really interesting is that all over North America, people have talked about Bigfoot for a really long time. All of the native tribes basically had their own Bigfoot. They found petroglyphs in some rock on the Tule River Indian Reservation that depict a group of Bigfoots called the Family, and the tribe's people call the biggest form Hairy Man, and the art's estimated to be between 500 and 1,000 years old.
I love this. I love the idea of just a bunch of people being like, Hairy Man. And Bigfoot being like, yes. And wandering off into the trees.
Please, my name is Timothy. Like, why are you bullying me like this?
Bigfoot, I have a name. Hairy Man.
That's what his name translates to. He's just all bummed out. Bigfoot, and we got the Hairy Man. The Salish are the ones that have Sasquatch. The Lummi people have the Siamequis, which is like a harsher... The Siamequis, and then a harsher nocturnal variant named the Stiaha. And the Stiaha reportedly carried people off into the night, like they just steal people.
I will give you props for pronouncing this Siamequis, because written out, I had no angle of approach for saying that.
I just say it, and probably incorrectly, but the trick is to be confident.
Oh.
Now.
Life hack.
There you go. Just be confident and do stuff, and people will assume that you're doing it correctly. The Iroquois have the Genosqua. And even President Theodore Roosevelt, by the way, met someone who claimed that he was stalked and attacked by a Bigfoot. If I remember the story correctly, Roosevelt met, like, a gold miner, and the gold miner was, like, terrified, and he was talking about they found this wild man, he and his partner, a wild man out in the woods, and they were doing their journey to find some gold, you know, find a spot they could pan for gold or whatever, and, this thing was following them and kind of picking at their leavings and all that sort of stuff. And eventually, yeah, they kind of encountered it, and the thing, like, went berserk and grabbed his buddy and just broke his neck.
Oh.
And, yeah, the dude that was talking to Theodore Roosevelt was very freaked out. And Roosevelt was like, I don't believe in Sasquatch. Like, that sounds, you know, I don't know about this, but this guy's obviously terrified. Like, something happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, even as I was watching the UFO video that you took and posted, part of me was like, there is no way. Even though, as I was looking at it.
How did I not open the... Pause. I'm hitting the pause button right now. Boop. Pause. I have to tell you guys a little story. I gotta tell you guys this. I can't believe this shit happened. So, it was Canada Day. July 1st, I was with my girlfriend. We went for a walk to go see the fireworks. And we walked a couple of blocks down. And we go sit in a field, by a school. There's a bunch of other people there. And then watching the fireworks, and the fireworks end, and a bunch of people start yelling, like, what is that? What the hell is that? And we look over, and there's, like, a... Not big, it was... medium-sized, but it was also pretty far away. And it was blinking, like, red and white and green. And it was just staying still, hovering in the air. And everyone was like, "What? Could it be a helicopter or something?" But eventually, so it pulls a loop in the air, just like a big loop, real quick, just zoop. And then it, like, rips across the sky, like, a couple of kilometers in a second. From a dead stop to just, like, brrrr. and then it stops again and it hovers, and it stayed there for so long that like we had time to get up and walk like, you know, 200 feet and turn around the side of the school. And I pulled out my phone and finally managed to get like a little video of it, and then it just like started blinking and descended and just like disappeared. And a bunch of people saw it and were freaking out, and at least one person said they'd seen it earlier in the day, like low over some houses.
Huh.
And could have been a drone, I guess. Sure.
Yeah.
But like, it went kilometers in like a second. Like, it ripped all the way across town in like...
Yeah, that part debunks the whole drone thing. I mean, maybe perspective, but like...
Yeah, I mean... If it went kilometers,
a drone's not going to pull that off.
No,
that was at least not an Earth drone.
And it helps too that like a bunch of other people saw it and were tripping out.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and like you got a little bit of video of it descending, and even that is just like, whoa, what the fuck?
It doesn't wobble. It doesn't do anything. It just like stops and it's. Just starts to drift down.
Pretty bright looking light too. It is like brighter than the stars.
Yeah, like it was like we thought at first that it was like an airplane or a helicopter or like something like that. Because it was like a super bright light that was flicking different colors.
Even a drone is generally not that bright. I think. They're small. I don't think they have the capacity for such levels of light.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to look into it more.
Yeah.
But hit the unpause button. We're back to Bigfoot.
That was a metaphorical unpause button, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
The modern origin of the name Bigfoot actually comes from 1958, when some loggers working in Humboldt County, California, who discovered some 16-inch footprints around their worksite in Six Rivers National Forest. This was paired with some other weird happenings, like the movement of some 450-pound barrels, to create a monster in the eyes of the loggers, a mystery monster, and they called it Bigfoot. And the most modern rendition of a cryptozoological monster was given a name. Because like we covered last episode, like there's tons of different versions of this.
Yeah. Bigfoot, as we know him, is, I think, kind of the most iconic whole cryptozoologist thing, though.
Yeah. No, totally. Him and Nessie.
Yeah.
Now, a third of all sightings happen in the Pacific Northwest. So, like, BC down to, like, maybe Northern California along the coast. But instead of hitting you guys with some dry statistics, let's take a look at some fucking fun encounters. You cool if I go first?
Absolutely.
I have an awesome one. So we open in Rifle, Colorado, September 1st, 2009. A lady is commuting to work and driving her truck. Just before she hits Independence Pass, she decides she needs some fresh air. That's the quote, needs some fresh air. While driving. So I'm pretty sure she was pissing in the forest. Now, she pulls over. She gets out, and she sees a creature in the nearby meadow. And at first she figured that it was a bear. I mean, you see bears around. It happens. But then it stood up, and it looked more like a person. It was huge, with cinnamon-colored fur, and, I shit you not, big old titties. That was how the lady described it. It had big boobs.
Huh. Yeah, see, I've seen images a number of times of bears just kind of standing on their hind legs and like vibing and like waddling around, but never seen a bear with big old titties.
Yeah, and she pointed out too that when it stood, like its arms hung down by its sides. They weren't like in front of them the way that a bear's arms are.
Yeah, a bear looks kind of dainty when they stand on their hind legs. They got their hands kind of, or paws kind of go together towards the front a little bit.
Yeah, because they're quadrupedal, so they kind of have to do the cat or dog thing when they stand.
Yeah. The meerkat.
Now, This lady claimed that she had never believed in such creatures before, but that her, and I quote, life is forever changed. Thank you, Big Titty Bigfoot. Pip, you have a story for us?
Yeah, I got one from a guy on Reddit here, posted 2 years ago. This is a picture even, not of the Bigfoot, but here, I'll get into it. This guy's saying he spends 70 to 90 days a year in the bush, mostly hunting, scouting, looking for antlers. And I'll just sort of read verbatim here. Sometimes I hunt with family, friends. Most of the time I'm on my own, so I'm pretty comfortable and confident out there. So this is a story from last weekend when I was on a 5-day trip, hunting trip. When I was on a 5-trip. Oh, wow, yeah. No, his grammar really is that bad. Okay. Anyways.
Thanks to the wonderful South world of Bigfoot lore.
Yep. Internet posters. Southeast of Revelstoke, BC, a small town of 7,000, surrounded by a temperate rainforest. So the first night I was camped, sleeping in the back of the truck, 30 kilometers up the Aklex River. I made a small fire and passed out shortly after 10. I woke up at about 1:30 with my hackles up because I could hear small little noises outside. Now I had two coolers that I put outside to make room to sleep in the truck. An empty one was just a few feet from the fire and a full one which I had wedged under the truck. After laying there with my eyes open for about 20 minutes, I hear something tap on the empty cooler. Just a tap, tap, tap. 5 or 6 times. And as soon as I heard the noise, I started yelling the normal, "Hey bear, get out of here!" As you do, right? You know, you hear a bear, you just tell him off. Life hack. Just holler at them.
Yeah, they're spooked.
Yeah. As I racked around into my 270, I spun around in the back of the truck, still in my sleeping bag, so that the muzzle of my gun was now pointed at the tailgate. Hit me right away, though, that it wasn't a bear, because I would have heard claws on the cooler lid, and this sounded like a finger. Plus, bears don't tap. So I locked everything. Bears don't tap. I'm trying to do an accent. I don't know how it's landing. All right, cool. I locked everything I could without getting out of the truck and closed the windows, laid there in my sleeping bag with my thumb on the safety. Within 10, 20 minutes, it came back and slapped the truck above the driver's side, rear wheel well. Wasn't hard enough to rock the truck, but I felt it. Also, never heard it approach or run away. Only fell back asleep once the birds started chirping. There's a couple scratches on the print because I drove about 5 minutes up an overgrown road shortly and packed up camp. And he's, believe it was a juvenile and has never had contact with a human, which wasn't hard to believe up there. Came to investigate my camp after I scared it off, but it got brave and wanted to stake its territory and let me know I'm not welcome. That's why it came back and hit the truck. And this one, it does have pictures of, like, his hand beside the slap mark on the truck. Yeah. He did his own handprints too to compare sizes, and like the shape of his own handprint totally different. You normally with your own handprint you only see like the tips of the fingers.
Yeah. I gotta say, it is kind of funny to me that like you stuck with the southern accent after he said he lived in Revelstoke, BC.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that partway through.
We could drive there in a day.
Yeah, it's just the guy that goes like hunting and saw, you know, just a hunting encounter.
Yeah, dude.
Saw Bigfoot. It felt the accent felt right though, you know.
Oh, of course, that was classic coast to coast.
Yeah,
I was out hunting and I saw a bear, but it wasn't a bear. It was a big
bear. Bear don't tap.
Bear don't tap.
Bear don't tap.
That's another good T-shirt. Bears don't tap.
Yeah, like a enamel pin or something.
All right, now I've got another one. The evening of September 8th, 2007, around 9 in the evening. A cop was driving to answer a call on a ranch when he saw someone coming out of a nearby ravine. He figured he'd surprised a marijuana farmer or some local kid out in the woods or something. But when he hit the brakes of his car and started to reverse, he saw a creature that was 7 feet tall, covered in thick brown matted hair. Leaves and grass were stuck all over it, and when it saw the officer, it turned back into the trees, pushing aside branches and crunching off through the forest. This guy was a police officer, and he said that this thing, like, he heard the crunching noises for a while before it, like, vanished. And I don't know what call he was responding to on the ranch, that, like, he was delayed because he saw a Bigfoot, but, like, I hope it wasn't anything serious.
Yeah. Imagine get. Oh, sorry I'm late to your domestic abuse. I saw a fucking Bigfoot. And then the whole fight is just diffused as everyone is like, wait, a Bigfoot?
I was going to say. And the owner of that ranch? Chris Benoit. He's a wrestler that killed his whole family. That's the joke.
Oh.
He killed his own family and then killed himself with his like weightlifting machine.
Oh.
If the
officer hadn't met Bigfoot, he would have gotten there in time.
He would have gotten there in time. All right, you got another Reddit story for us?
Dang, I thought my stories were going to be too short, but you really just got like anecdotes.
My last one's really big. Like my one after this is like big.
Let's see here, where'd I go? My potential sighting in Eastern BC. I've seen quite a few posts here regarding personal encounters, so I thought I'd do the same and share my own. This occurred 2 summers ago at our property in the Kootenay Lakes Valley in southeastern British Columbia, Canada. The lake is quite large and runs north to south in what can be described as a very wide river. It's about 2 kilometers wide after checking the map. Either side of the lake, there are fairly steep mountain slopes, and from one side, you can clearly see from the shore all the way up to the peaks. It was a clear day, and I wanted to test out my new pair of high magnification binoculars that I bought recently, and there was nice weather. They did an excellent job, and I was able to see people on the opposite side of the lake on the beach. And after looking around through the binoculars for a few minutes, I scanned over a patch of forest high up on the slopes. And there was an area that was clear-cut for logging. If you've ever seen, like, those clear-cut loggings, it is just, like, bare strips.
Yeah.
Kind of across the... Yeah. And you line up with them, you can see a pretty good stretch down them. So I'm assuming that's sort of what this was. So he was scanning over there. He saw the area that was clear-cut for logging. In the middle of this patch, I could see a black figure moving slowly up the slope. It was then I wished I had a telescope. It was comparable height to the young trees surrounding it, roughly 7 to 9 feet tall, and its dark color contrasted strikingly with the surrounding greenery. Able to compare the scale and shape of the figure to the ones of the people on the beach, which confirmed my guesses about its size. Couldn't tell if it was a black bear or other large animal, but most animals don't walk upright like a human, and it was much too big. Watched it as it made its way up the slope and into the trees where I couldn't track it any longer. Binoculars magnified just enough to make out these general details, but any more would require substantial equipment.
I mean, there's one simple test.
Nah.
You see. Bears don't tap.
Bears don't tap.
See, that's, I gotta say, my UFO encounter showed me one thing, and it's, I understand why there's dog shit footage of stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, when it happens, you just are like, what? And then, like, I was in such a rush to get my phone out that, like, my phone wasn't recognizing my thumbprint to open up.
Oh, that's probably gotta do a pattern.
Yeah, so it did that like a couple times, and then eventually like, I had to enter my PIN, whatever, get my phone up, and then I was trying to double tap my home key, which opens my camera, but my hands were kind of shaking, so it just wasn't like working, and yeah, by the time, so I couldn't get like the loop or like when it zipped across the sky, I just got like when it stopped and it like sunk, plus it was just my phone camera, so it was not great.
Yeah. You gotta get that phone that can take pictures of fucking Mars. You see that? Those people like zooming way in. Now that's a Bigfoot hunting phone. This episode's sponsored by Samsung.
My turn?
Yeah, hit it.
Alright, this is a big one. This one, I'm gonna read verbatim from nunatsiak.com. NUNATSIAQ.com. Maggie Cruikshank of Akulovik has an incredible story to tell. Late in the afternoon, on a rainy, windy September Saturday, she and a cousin went out from Akulovik to pick berries. "We moved around a lot because we were looking for big berries," said Cruikshank, a 46-year-old language teacher with the Kativik school board. "My cousin noticed something. She thought it was a hunter, but I ignored her because I wanted to go home while the sun was still up. Then, she started to be scared, so I got up and looked to where she pointed, and it was a very large animal, a Bigfoot. The creature was black, hairy, and without any clothes. Taller and larger than a man," said Cruikshank. "It walks like us, but not standing straight like us. It can jump and crawl. And its footprint measures some 40 centimeters. Other people in Akulovik have seen the creature too, according to Cruikshank. A group of walrus hunters who had just returned with their catch were preparing to hide their meat under rocks for the winter when they saw the Bigfoot. Someone else noticed it by the airport. Other people have reported odd collections of caribou bones piled in the hills outside town. An elder found what he said were human bones in a cave outside town and suggested to her the remains might be the work of the Bigfoot. And just last week, apparently, someone spotted fresh Bigfoot tracks. Someone else reportedly saw the creature standing on top of a mountain. It's possible that the creature's been around for quite some time. There are people telling me they suddenly remember that they've seen this thing before," said Cruikshank, "like 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 60 years ago. They saw it, they just never reported it." "Why not? Perhaps their stories didn't hold up, or perhaps they were scared that others would mock them." As Cruikshank learned, there's a lot of hullabaloo involved in taking a Bigfoot sighting public. Photos of the footprint that she posted on Facebook have drawn significant attention, including a great deal of criticism. "Nobody gonna believe until the video is revealed," commented a Facebook user named Arctic Charles. The photo that Cruikshank posted shows a hand with a yellow measuring tape stretching across a rough-looking footprint made in spongy ground. "It's pretty clear that the photo is real, and the muddy imprint does indeed resemble footprints. But footprints don't make for good sighting stories, and Facebook users want something more substantial. If you have video footage of the Bigfoot, you can charge hundreds of thousands per frame," said one commenter. "But please, show us the video once you get the money." What?
I don't know. People on Facebook are less coherent than most people, I feel.
"That footprint is not fake," explained a third person. "However, it was done by a muskox that slept." "There is video," said Cruikshank, "shot by her and her cousins, but she's afraid that making it public could have devastating results in the small community."
That is pretty fair, actually. If it's a small community and you like, "Hey, I've got video footage of Bigfoot," that community is going to be overrun.
Yeah. "Many people want to see the video and are starting to make negative comments," said Cruikshank. "We want to post it, but we don't want to scare the children." Bigfoot may not be the only otherworldly creature in Akulovik. "In the past few years," said Cruikshank, "residents have sighted little Inuit, known as Inugagulak." Inugagulagak. "As well as giant animals, including a massive anaconda snake, a very large codfish, and monstrous rabbits. Other people have reportedly seen a half-man, half-fish creature like a mermaid. As fantastic as these creatures sound, they do resemble beings that hold a very real place in Inuit cosmology. There is Sedna, the goddess of the sea and marine mammals, Ijirak, a shapeshifter that kidnaps children, and Kivyuk, a young Inuit hunter with supernatural powers. For many, these beings are merely the stuff of legends, and don't exist here in the real world. But not for Crookshank. "I'm not telling you lies," she said. "This is scary. It has affected my emotions." There you have it. The account of Maggie Crookshank, as reported on Nunatsiak.com.
Huh. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. You got a final one to send us off with?
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. I mostly just had the two. Let me, give me a sec here. I think I pulled another one up.
I had a couple friends say that they'd seen Bigfoot, but I asked for their stories so that I could put it in the podcast, and guess what I was told?
What?
Nothing. None of them responded.
Oh, nice. Classic Bigfoot seers. Dang, though, you know people who've seen Bigfoot?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know a lot of people.
Dang.
What can I say? I've been around.
Have been around. All right, here's one. My father's encounter. Guy telling a secondhand story from his father there. Let's see here. Northeast Kentucky. At the time, about 9 or 10 years old. My father at the time would spend nights staying at my grandmother's trailer in a holler that had a old blacktop road that went past her place and off in front of her trailer connecting to another trailer. She had a neighbor who lived approximately 100 or so yards away, also in a trailer. The trailer was purchased by my grandfather when my father was a kid, sometime in the late 60s or 70s. My grandfather... Oh, wait. I messed up the tone there. Take two. When I was a kid, sometime in my... Take three. Sometime in the late 60s or 70s, my grandfather, after getting the trailer, also planted two peach trees on the left side of the trailer in the yard. Grandfather himself was a godly man who never lied once in his life and contracted cancer in the late 80s, early 90s. Lived through his 70s with the disease before overcoming it twice, finally died. A lot of history here. My grandmother... afterwards lived there by herself, and starting around 2010 would complain of someone banging or knocking on the trailer walls at night, keeping her up, and this would persist for nights on end until they finally quit for a time and then return. This got so bad to the point that my father had to stay with her at night because she was so terrified about what was happening. The knocking would even start when he was there as well, and my father would grab my grandfather's shotgun and open the front door, but nothing was there. One night when my grandma's only living sister was staying with her and my father was at the trailer, that night my dad heard a commotion at the back door. Father grabbed a light and went out back following. The following is what he described seeing. Walking away from the back door is a, as my father called it, quote, ginormously gigantic, all black creature walking down the slope leading to the road beside the house. Followed it all the way to the road and says that it looked back at him twice while walking. He said the eyes glowed red and it walked into the woods by the road. I really should have proofread this, but...
It sounds like you just saw O.J. Simpson. If I ever meet OJ, I'm not going to tell him that I made that joke.
My father went back into the trailer and his face was as white as a ghost, as if he'd seen something beyond the realm of science fiction. He's seen something real.
He has seen something real?
Actually, there wasn't a has. He's seen something real. Beyond the realm of science fiction.
He's saying something real.
Now, yeah, see, that one would have been the perfect one for a real Southern accent.
And my dad, he went out back, he came back white as a sheet, and he said he saw a gigantically ginormous shape.
Now, ginormously gigantic all-black creature walking down the slope, leading to the road beside the house. He followed it all the way to the road. He says it looked back at him twice while walking, and says the eyes glowed red, and it walked into the woods by the road.
Eyes glowed red, and it came over to me. It shook my hand. It said, "Sir, it is nice to meet you. I am the Juice." And I said, "Mr. Simpson, it is such a pleasure to meet you here. You ran for so many yards."
I thought he was a basketball guy. Didn't he dunk?
No, he's a football player.
Oh.
He was a running back, and then he viciously did not murder his wife and her lover, according to the courts.
Glove didn't fit, and the you must acquit.
Did not fit. He did not take his arthritis medication when his attorney was telling him they were going to do the glove thing, so his hand swelled up so it wouldn't fit in it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I am lightly ashamed to admit that I didn't really know what sport he played and just assumed, based on superficial details, that it was basketball.
No, it was football, and he's very fast, and that's why when O.J. Simpson is in Roots, he runs down Kunta Kinte.
Huh.
Yeah. Have you seen Roots?
No.
We had to watch it in school.
What is Roots?
It's a, I don't want to say movie, because it's more like an epic.
High praise?
Because it's like, more in length. I mean, it's good, but it's also just, it's a movie about like a black guy born in Africa and his abduction by white people and then living as a slave. And then at the end, like as he's an old man, like being freed from slavery, you know, so it's great and it's epic, but as someone who's white, it's also just like 12 hours of me being like, I get it. My ancestor did horrible things. Like, I don't, please.
Yeah.
Around hour 6, it starts getting real hard to watch. I was like, oh man.
Jesus, 12 hours. A long day at school.
Yeah. Well, it was over the course of like 2 weeks in social class. Because it was originally like television movies. Anyways,
we're
not talking about Roots. We're talking about O.J. Simpson and him being Bigfoot.
Yes. Bigfoot, big hands.
Big hands. Glove doesn't fit.
One thing I noticed when I was trying to look up some Bigfoot encounters was somebody posted a couple of prints there, and a lot of people were being like, oh, it's a double bear print, where a bear will tread partly on its own track, like from the front foot and back foot. And it does look like a big Bigfoot track.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Something to look out for.
Something to look out for. Maybe it's a Bigfoot. Maybe it's just a bear playing tricks.
Maybe it's just a barefoot.
Barefoot.
Oh my God.
Now we gotta look out for that barefoot Bigfoot.
All the foot fetishists are keyed into our podcast now.
Oh God, there's no way there's Bigfoot foot fetishists, right?
There has to be. There has to be.
No.
His name is Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You can just... I love that it's 2021 and we can just listen to someone else hit the keys typing up forbidden knowledge.
Finding Bigfoot gameplay. Proof Bigfoot has a foot fetish. The Bigfoot fetish rub, which I think is a pottery line. But you know what? I'm not finding any Bigfoot foot fetish stuff. Not at least not in that context. I mean, sometimes the words are near each other, but that's about it.
What are you talking about? It took me 1 second. Here, buddy. I got you. Don't worry about it, man. You can thank me later.
I found an image of Bigfoot pogging. Jesus! Oh, that's from the My Dad is Bigfoot movie. Where they gave him a suave dad look. And hairy feet, apparently. Jesus.
Pogfoot.
All right, well, on that note, I think that's a good sign to exit this recording.
Our brains have become pudding. So
yeah, take me back to the Grunch.
So, with that, we come to an end for this week. We don't have all the answers, because Bigfoot won't come out and meet with us. Check out our Twitter, at @UTA_pod, our Facebook group, Out of the Abyss Podcast, and our Patreon at patreon.com/OOTAP. That's patreon.com/OOTAP. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. And remember, everything has an element of the unknown. Good night.
Good night.